Welcome into the KSO show. I am Mason Voth. That is Derek Young. And for the first time in almost a month, we are here for a preview show. That's because K-State is getting ready to play their final game of the season. They will conclude 2024 the day after Christmas in Phoenix, Arizona, taking on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. We have a very sophisticated Derek Young. I'm not sure he's ever worn glasses on this show, but he's debuting them today.
Yes. I've had him now for a week and a half. Not only am I old enough to where I've been in the hospital multiple times with a pinched nerve the last 2 months that I still can't seem to get completely under control. My eyes have went bad. I just look like I'm going Ricky Vaughn, you know, for this show. Yes,
you actually look a lot like Rick Vaughn right now. So
I feel the heat now.
Yeah. Vaughn. I lived near Vaughn Street in college. So every time I drive by, I always thought of Rick Vaughn. All right. Before we get moving and talking about K-State this season, wrapping things up, after they play Rutgers, the very next game that they play is going to be in Dublin, Ireland. Drew and I talked on Monday with Marquavius Moss, and he told us this story about when K-State was recruiting him. One of the coaches said to him, like, you know, is there anywhere that you kind of want to travel to that you want to see? And he did not know. He said Ireland. And they were immediately like, well, have you looked at the schedule and seen where we're playing to start next year? And he was blown away by the fact that K-State is opening the season in Ireland. So if you want to be in Ireland next year to see the Marquavius Moss debut and see Farmageddon between K-State and Iowa State, you can be the hero of the holiday season with your family, because it's time to find the perfect gift for the Cats fan in your life. And really, you don't have much more time to find a gift better than this. Give your friends and family the trip of a lifetime to see the Wildcats take on the Cyclones in the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland. Visit cats2ireland.com for information on official travel and hospitality packages. That's cats2ireland.com. So get ready for that. Get excited for it. And let's talk a little bit of Rate Bowl. It's not guaranteed, but it is just the Rate Bowl this year. K-State, Rutgers, 4:30 on the day after Christmas from Chase Field. K-State now getting to play yet another game in a baseball stadium. You go back X amount of years, another New York area team. They face Syracuse in the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. Fortunately, no snow. This one's inside. It's also going to feel pretty great outside in Phoenix, where DY is right now. Off the face, DY, what is the vibe like in Arizona? You just got down there. And also, what do you think of K-State facing this Rutgers team?
Well, all I've seen is the airport and the path from the airport to the hotel. So I haven't gotten completely out, but it's a sunny, like 75. So I, no complaints. Now, you say it's not guaranteed, it's just the Rate Bowl, and you are correct. But since I made the trip out here, the game better be guaranteed to play. so that's where I'll stand on that.
And you're already meeting new friends in Arizona, I heard.
Yeah, I had a buddy, someone tried to be my roommate in the hotel room. They overbooked the room. They overbooked the room. It sounds like they wrote my room number down the wrong way. So maybe it's like they put this number when it's actually this number. So someone tried to saddle up with me, and I was like, well, I don't know about this. I'm also considering, you know, Christmas night, we got the Nuggets at the Suns out here. Thought about going to that game.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. When I was down there, like many K-State fans did for the Fiesta Bowl back in the day, I think it was the Fiesta Bowl, may have been the B-Dubs Bowl, but one of the years Michael Beasley was playing for the Suns. So there were a bunch of K-State fans that showed up to watch the Suns and 76ers play, two terrible basketball teams.
Not Jokic versus KD.
No, exactly. Yeah, it would have been like December 30th or something that game was getting played. That was just a ho-hum, these teams suck and are picking top five in the draft next year.
So that was the Fiesta Bowl. Which one was it?
It was either Fiesta or B-Dubs Bowl. I can't remember which year now. I think it was the Fiesta Bowl season, though.
Oh, so is that the one they lost to Ohio State?
They lost to Oregon in that one. But you'll be proud. They beat Michigan. They beat the brakes off of them.
Jesse Ertz put on the cowboy hat, right?
Yeah. That was against Texas A&M in 2016. My freshman Texas Bowl. Yeah, this was like Shane Morris was the quarterback at Michigan for that game.
I hated that guy. I mean, there's probably not a Michigan guy I really like, but I really hated that one.
Yeah. All right. So Rutgers, though, well, another Big Ten team we can talk about. Yeah. What do you make of this matchup for K-State with Rutgers? Because, look, K-State's a 6.5-point favorite going into this game. If you were asked, you know, we'll do best bets later, but my best bet for this game is K-State -6.5. I think K-State takes care of it. And there's a realm where Rutgers is competitive and can provide a game, but I don't think very highly of them. And so what is your perspective on Rutgers football?
And I said the same stuff on 3-Mall that you basically just got into. I think Kansas State's a better team than Rutgers. I think that they've beaten teams like Rutgers already this year, to be quite honest. I think Kansas State played a tougher schedule than Rutgers. Like, don't give me the Big 12, Big 10 crap. Like, the best team that Rutgers played this year was Illinois, I think. And that's not hyperbole. There was 4 teams from the Big 10 that went to the college football playoff. Rutgers didn't play a single one of those teams. They did not play Ohio State. They did not play Indiana. They did not play Penn State, and they did not play Oregon. Hell, I don't even think they played Michigan. So this team didn't play nobody, like that double negative, and they went 7-5. What I will say is you do have to look at who their coach is, and they'll be tough as balls like always. But I think Kansas State's a significantly better team, and I don't know that the losses – will really shrink that gap enough. Now, hopefully you got to get enough offensive production. That's probably one of your concerns, because DJ Giddens was a lot of the offense this year. Let's not get it twisted. And then you're going to be down your right tackle and Carver Willis, who went in the portal, probably getting replaced by Andrew Lyon-Gang. We'll see if there's enough drop off there. If there's not, then I'll be like thinking Andrew Lyon-Gang should have played more this year, to be quite honest. And then Trey Spivey, you saw a spike in snaps, you know, later in the season, but he's in the portal. But you're still going to have most of your wide receivers that you counted on outside of Keegan Johnson. So I don't think the losses are going to be significant, because the one that could hurt the most would be the loss of Jacob Parrish, because I think the gap between him and the next quarter for K-State is pretty wide. But at the same time, Rutgers has Ethan Calicmonis. And that passing game doesn't scare the hell out of me at all.
Yeah, so, well, let's talk about the availability in this game, because Giddens and Parrish both opt out. They're not going to play in this game. Kobe McAllister, John Pastore, they are having season-ending surgery, so they will not play in this game. And Kobe McAllister is a guy that at safety, his playing time went up a significant amount at the end of the season. We'll start with the two draft opt-outs. What is your feeling on these two specific guys opting out? Because we know K-State kind of has a bit of a complicated past with it now. Last year, it was a split. Ben Sinnott opted out. Cooper Beebe played. K-State, obviously, KT Leviston played, got drafted by the Rams. You go back the year prior to that, little different story, because K-State's playing in the Sugar Bowl after winning the Big 12 title, but Deuce Vaughn played, Felix Anudike Uzama played, and oh, by the way, all those – idiots from Alabama risked their careers by playing in that game. I mean, just how dare Nick Saban have a healthy
Jahmyr Gibbs, Bryce Young, Will Anderson. I think there's a couple others that are really good in the NFL too. Yeah. Branch. Yeah. Brian Branch plays for Detroit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, What are the chances? Every other school has guys opt out, and Alabama's like, we're playing in this game. But that's the beauty of it. Were you surprised that both of these guys chose to not play in this game?
Yeah, Jacob Parrish maybe not, because I think part of the reason why he's going now is because of a risk of injury next year. I think that's part of it. And you know, your stock's hot, you go now. So, but I think the risk of injury for him was probably a little extra, because we have seen Jacob Parrish get banged up a few times in his career. DJ Giddens wasn't 100% towards the end of the season, so maybe that factors into it as well. At least he didn't seem to have the same burst, I didn't think. What I do know is DJ wanted to play, and that sounds like DJ, but I don't think that his circle wanted him to play. And I think he just felt like he should probably listen to those guys, because I bet those Bama players had people telling them not to play as well. And Coach Saban's like, bet your ass you're playing. That's basically how I see it happening. Coach Prime, him and Coach Saban are buddies. You know, Shador and Travis Hunter are going to play in the Alamo Bowl, so it's kind of a thing. I think some coaches probably draw a harder line on it than others and almost make it an expectation, which I think Coach Klieman comes close to doing that, but I also don't think he wants to step too far into that realm, because it's not entirely up to him either.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing that made me think of it was how adamant he was after the Iowa State loss about
That was more people, like, I hate to put it on blast, that was more people maybe like Phillip Brooks. That opted out last year,
The credit of some, we're seeing like Dante Cephas and Jordan Riley, who are done with college football after this year, they are playing in this game. Like, there are guys that are like
Ty Bowman, Dante Cephas, I guess Jaden Jackson was on the depth chart, mm-hmm. I believe. I mean, Hadley Panzer, I want to say, is on there. Easton Kelty. Yeah, Easton Kelty. So, guys, no, outside of the NFL guys and the guys that have already entered the portal, I don't think anyone basically peaced out. Obviously, you had the two injuries. I do worry a little bit about the secondary without Jacob Parrish and Colby McAllister, because it wasn't a great secondary to begin with. But again, the Rutgers passing game just doesn't really intimidate me a whole lot.
So you've been down there in Arizona for a little bit, and this plays into the guys that won't be available. And you already mentioned on the K-State side, Carver Willis transferred, so he won't be there. Pastore won't be there on the offensive line, so you got some guys there. But on the Rutgers side of it, a lot of questions about Kyle Manungai on what his availability was going to be. He made the trip to Phoenix, but it's still like
Christian Wilson last year.
Yeah, there's no confirmation on if he's going to play or not.
I'm practicing, but I don't know if I'm going to play, which to me, like, there's two things with that make absolutely no freaking sense to me. One is like, why is practice so much less of a risk than a game? I think the risk seems to be similar. I know that the practice is lighter than a game, but you're still practicing. You're still taking a gamble every day by practicing. And two, like, how much are you hurting your team if you go and practice the entire time like Peyton Wilson did and then not play? Those reps could have went to somebody else.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of interesting to think about and try and figure out how this is going to work out. I think back to a couple of years ago, like Iowa State, when they played in, at the time it was the Cheez-It Bowl down there, but they were getting ready to face, the year they played Clemson, and like Breece Hall traveled, didn't end up playing in the game. So it is kind of fascinating to me how these work out. And yeah, you mentioned Peyton Wilson last year for NC State. That was kind of the talk of it. It's like, is he going to play? Is he not? And he ended up not playing in it. So I will be fascinated to see at what that ends up doing, because that drastically changes what this Rutgers team is. I mean, Manungai playing is okay. This is a team you really are at least locked in on to what goes on with this offense. Like, it really comes down to what you talked about earlier with, you might have some concerns about K-State secondary with the guys that are missing, but this game would go squarely from being how Rutgers wants to play to being in the hands of Ethan Calliope-Manis. Has just got to throw the ball and take your chances if you're Rutgers, a team that hasn't been some overwhelming throwing team throughout the season.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like we said, DJ Gins is a huge chunk of the K-State offense. Manungai is a huge chunk of the Rutgers offense. Like, and I actually think DJ probably had a better supporting cast still. Like, K-State went 8-4 against the schedule far tougher than Rutgers went 7-5 on. Now, I will say Rutgers had defensive injuries that really bogged them down in the middle of the year, where I think at one point they had a 3 or 4 game losing streak. But that's a lot to consider with everything going on right there and everything. So I would rather be Kansas State without DJ Giddens than Rutgers without Kyle Manungai.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's because we know that K-State has a couple of guys that people are really excited to get to see take their spot as the featured part of the run game and usage at running back and Joe Jackson and Dylan Edwards. So that might be, you know, last year it was obviously all about the Avery Johnson show, and this is his first start at quarterback and taking over the team. Now it is the transition from Giddens to Jackson and Edwards. What is your expectation for what the running back usage looks like on whatever day the 26th is? Because, you know, Thursday, it's the holidays. I think it's, yeah, Thursday looked right. And then also just kind of, I guess, how confident you are that those guys are ready to carry the load.
I think they can carry the load. At least, like, they have the ability to carry the load. Will they is a different different story. Kansas State struggled to run the ball with DJ Giddens towards the latter portion of the season. So it's not guaranteed, right? It's the rate bowl. It's not guaranteed. I'm going to play on there with a little bit longer. I would say it's probably going to be pretty split, at least on touches, right? I talked about this with Coleman back on the 3-Mile Preview podcast. Maybe it's out. If it is, everyone should listen to it. But, like, there is a quiet layer underneath this bowl game that I don't know that you can completely ignore just to sell out to win if you're coaching staff or either team. And you know what that is. This game is December 26th, and that transfer portal stays open until December 28th. And I think that you have to, from a touches standpoint, basically make both Joe Jackson and Dylan Edwards reinforce to them that they're going to be a integral part of this team's mission next season. And it can start by setting the example in the bowl game.
Well, part of how that is going to get determined comes from who's directing the offense. And obviously after 12 games this season, there were a number of people that weren't overly excited about the Connor Riley led offense. And, you know, obviously Matt Wells is a part of that. So people are probably wondering why there haven't been coaching changes yet or what is coming that way. What do you think the outcome ends up being with Connor Riley? And do you think we see a different looking offense in any way on Thursday?
Different looking, I would say no. I think this – now they got to do things better than they have in the last part of the season that contributed to losing three of their final four games. But I don't know that you really make those. I think the offense is what they want it to be. And I don't know that I had really any gripes with the actual formation of this offense in ways. I don't think it was that much different from the Colin Klein, a little slower, not significantly slower, still a team that wasn't absolutely run heavy either. In fact, Avery Johnson wasn't really used as a runner that much at all. And I think he got to be a little bit of the passer that he wanted to be in ways. So I don't think that there's going to be any tangible changes, but there's got to be things that they get better at. That comes down to the offensive line has to control the line of scrimmage a little bit better. Avery Johnson has to have a little bit more of a pocket presence. He has to see the field a little bit better, has to go through those progressions and reads a little bit quicker and have cleaner footwork and kind of be a little bit more decisive to knowing when to run and maybe making those decisions a little quicker. So your receivers just, they have to make significant progress. So, you know, it was easy to pin those things on Connor Riley during the season, and everyone blames the offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator is the least favorite guy in the building for about 90% of college football teams. I remember in the years that Colin Klein was here, that there were still people complaining about Colin Klein, and he had a number one or number two offense in the Big 12. Now, Connor Riley was just number 11 in points per drive, and it dropped from number one after about seven games to number 11 in the Big 12 by the end of the season. So that's not to really put him in that same neighborhood. He's got things to prove. But from a change standpoint, I don't think the offense is going to change much. I think they got to do things better from a coaching standpoint. I've heard no rumblings of changing. That's all I would say. And obviously we're 3 days away from a bowl game. So if it's going to happen, it's not going to come until after the bowl game. So maybe we get rumblings then, maybe we don't. What I would say this too, and I know that not everyone's going to agree, there's a part of this I agree with, and people will probably scoff at me for saying this, but I do think that it is tough to fire a guy after 1 year. That's not a big opportunity. That's not, especially when after seven of those 12 games, he was number one in points per drive in the Big 12. So for me, I don't think it would be a total mistake like some have voiced for him to return. But while saying that, I will recognize that some things have to get remarkably better.
I think in most situations, you're right. It is 1 year, especially with, like, it wasn't as bad as some wanted it to believe.
With the first-year quarterback, too, with a lot of first-year contributors.
And you seem to be more of the mindset that the issues down the stretch were execution from guys as opposed to the situation they were being put in.
I agree. Now, there's play calls that I didn't like.
Yeah.
Trust me. There was a handful. I could write those out as well. But I do think it was more execution. But also, when the lack of execution is that inconsistent, that's on the coaching staff to find something that they can execute, or it's on them to helping them get to a point where they do execute. So they were still a failure.
But you talk about it's just 1 year. I would typically agree with that. But I think most people realize this upcoming year is the most pressure-packed year that Chris Klieman is going to have as a head coach at K-State, and not even because of you went 8-4 this year. People, you know, you tank down the stretch. People feel down by it. It's you cannot screw up the third year that you have Avery Johnson on your roster. And, you know, look, some of this is on Avery Johnson to be better. I think he would admit that and understand that. But also, this staff has to be able to put this team in a position. So if you have any doubt that Connor Riley wouldn't be able to lead the offense next year in a way that is going to make you capable of winning the Big 12 and doing great things with Avery Johnson, then I do think you would have to pull the trigger there. But the longer we get into this, the more I think, you know, there was a point there the last couple of games of the season, the way Chris Klieman talked and acted, I thought it would be a certainty that there were changes that were made in a significant way here. And he was coming to, you know, some harsh realities. But I think it's a lot easier for these guys once you get so many days and weeks away and almost a month away from playing your last game, you can take a bigger view of it and say, okay, we had this bad stuff that happened here, but we also had a lot of things we like. There's some things that we obviously have to change. How do we do that? How do we make it better? And obviously, you know, they're going to, I think, look at and say, maybe we move Connor Riley to the field too late. Maybe that's a part of the fix, because the offensive line was such a big problem down the stretch of the season, and the lack of the run game hampered them in so many other ways. So, you're right. There are going to be, I think it's more than a, you know, I think it's a majority of people are going to probably be upset and scoff at you saying that you don't think there will be changes.
Yeah, well,
that's just the nature of how being an offensive coordinator goes. But
or the vocal minority. I mean, like, I think we kind of get into the silos sometimes and don't understand that sometimes it's not a minority majority. It's also a vocal, a louder, and a quieter. Those two things, I think, also are part of this as well. What I would say, too, I would still caution, like, with signing day right after the season and then the transfer portal stuff and now the bowl game, it would also not shock me that Chris Klieman wanted to wait until after the bowl game to do anything.
Yeah, and there's still time. It's not like, you know, you can't do some things. And I bet there will still be some tweaks regardless, but this is going to be a pretty big game. And, you know, in some ways, the last two of the last three bowl games for K-State have essentially been tryouts for coaches, with Colin Klein in the Texas Bowl and then Connor Riley last year in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. This bowl game could also be one of those that's a little bit of a test for Connor Riley to see what does this look like and then how many changes need to be made and how drastic do they look going into next year. So that will be important for K-State in this game. One of the other things that is going to be on display in this game is Avery Johnson, obviously, and he sits at 22 passing touchdowns on the season. He needs two to tie the single season record. He needs three to break the record. Does he get to that? And are you going with the tie, or he gets to 25 and breaks it?
Well, yeah, we touched on this too. It's pretty wild that he can be the single season record holder for touchdown passes. I went with Ty. Cole said he breaks it, but I think there's a chance that this game's kind of low scoring to begin with. So I didn't want to say he didn't tie it. I had to say at least that. I don't want him to fall short of it. So I'm going Ty.
I think he breaks it. The other thing I'll throw at you here, four games this season, Avery Johnson threw 30 or more passes. And we talked about the run game struggles, no DJ Giddens. How is this offense going to look to you? Do you think Avery Johnson goes over or under 29 and a half pass attempts in this game against Rutgers?
Under. He threw a lot last year in the bowl game, but I think that's what they wanted to kind of unlock and find out about their team. You don't really need to find that out, right? We just had an entire season of Avery Johnson at quarterback. And the receivers that they're going to be using, aside from Jaquese Bradley-Demps, you kind of know who those are. And who knows how much Bradley Dentz will play. I hope he gets a little bit of time. But like we said, Jaden Jackson's still going to be there. Ty Bowman's still going to be there. Dante Cephas is still going to be there. Jace Brown is still going to be there. The tight end. So I think, like, if they approach it similarly to how they did last year, they said they wanted to see Avery Johnson throw the ball. This year they might want to see Joe Jackson run the ball. They might want to see Dylan Edwards get the ball. So I'll say under, just because I think the focus could be elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the offense looks like, because it is, even without, you know, the question marks that had played out over the end of the season, it's a drastically different team, or at least it feels that way, with no DJ Giddens on offense. So that will be a fascinating thing to watch and play out. The other part about this game that people will visually see, and it has, most people would think, no actual bearing on the outcome of the game, but K-State fans over the last couple of years would seem to think otherwise. Chris Kleiman obviously thought otherwise. K-State going to go with the white helmets, purple jerseys, white pants for the game against Rutgers. The biggest question here is, what do you think of the look, and is the curse real? Is the alternate uniform curse real for K-State?
I like the look. I'm not as big a guy like on, like, why don't we do it more? I'm not, like, technically one of those, because I really don't mind the classic look, to be quite honest. I do think it's still one of the better iconic classic looks in college football, and I don't think you should get away from it too much. I'm an Ohio State guy, so I kind of am in that traditional probably group, right? The Ohio States, Michigan's, Alabama, what, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Texas, and you throw in Kansas State. Ohio State probably goes to it too much, in my opinion, too. So, but I think doing it for a bowl game to kind of erase the perceived stench or jinx of this, I like the idea. I mean, we talked about them needing to do it for like an FCS school or something, just to get that win and kind of break that hex that is on them. I don't know if it's the curse of Bill Snyder, but I'm sure he wouldn't mind seeing that named that way, because I know he would rather see classic uniforms, and he was the one that went to the Power Cat in the first place. So I'll call it the curse of Bill Snyder. But I think trying to snap that curse by using the bowl game to do so, I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
But they tried it before. They lost to Navy in the Liberty Bowl, so.
Yep, and I was there, and that sucked. That was not a fun way to lose a game. But I think
Navy did it with like a trick play to like a half.
Yeah. You saw it coming. You knew it was coming because Chris Kleiman and his staff better as of late, but early on there, you felt like if it looked like a trick play, if it even smelled like a trick play, it was going to work against K-State. So we'll have to discuss that. Once we get the outcome of this game. All right, we'll take a pause from Rate Bowl talk and dive into Best Bets. Final chance this year. Here is the current tally. I'm 19-20, DY 17-21 and 1. I believe DY went 0-3 in the final week of the regular season. I only won one game. So we have our bowl games in front of us and where we're going with them. And I don't love a ton of mine, mainly because DY sent his in first. I liked two of his for sure. There were some others that I thought I liked, but I was like, I don't know. bowl games, weird big numbers, don't want to touch it. But we're different on this one. I like Texas Tech to beat Arkansas because I'm a Sam Pittman denier. And I just think, you know, Texas Tech, they like to prop themselves up with some false hope, and there's nothing like false hope by winning a bowl game. So I'm taking the Red Raiders to just win outright, and with it being plus 104, because they're 1.5 point dogs right now over Arkansas.
The false hope thing, I like that angle. You are not wrong about that. But just by their activity in the transfer portal, it makes me think that their interest has been devoted elsewhere, at least the coaching staff. And I think everyone would agree, like, based on their expectations entering the season, Arkansas should be pretty pleased with making a bowl game. So I think they'll be happy to be there.
You say that, but Texas Tech has won 3 straight bowl games, and they've won them by 27, 17, and 20 points.
So now they're getting bored. Now they're getting bored.
And they've done it all against power conference competition. And one of those years was in the Liberty Bowl with an interim head coach in Sonny Cumbie, because they didn't care about that team. Joey McGuire was coming, and they still kicked Mississippi State's butt. So I am going with Texas Tech. I think they do it. Nobody loves winning bowl games like Texas Tech. They're the anti-K-State. K-State loves losing them. Texas Tech loves winning them.
Well, K-State 1-2 in bowls, climbing 2-2, 2-2.
Yeah. Let's see. They are, yeah, they
lost Alabama, Navy,
and they beat LSU and NC State last year. So.
It's like the people that say Matt Campbell dominates Chris Klieman. He's got the edge, but domination. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, Klieman's 2-4 against him. One of the years was COVID, so. It all kind of swings back if Klieman can win in Ireland. My next one, I'm taking Navy to cover the 3.5 or 3.5 point underdogs against Oklahoma.
I stayed away from that game in the Armed Forces Bowl.
But this is just the play I make every year in bowl season. I always take the military school because I've seen it firsthand, and it just repeatedly pays off. Army did it a couple years ago against Missouri in the Armed Forces Bowl. They pulled it off. I think there's a very real chance that they win this game, but I'll play it safe and take the plus 3.5, because also, like, what's Oklahoma doing at quarterback in this game? What's the deal there? You know, you're talking about teams that are worried about the portal, DY. OU has just only lived in the portal this offseason. I don't know that they've even had bowl practices.
I know.
Okay.
I couldn't do it.
All right, well, you don't support the troops, so that's established. Colorado minus 4.5 over BYU in the Alamo Bowl. This is one of my favorite bowl games of the bowl season. The Alamo Bowl getting two teams that had great seasons, and you're going to have all of the star power from those teams playing in this game. But I just think Colorado is going to be too much for BYU, as long as this doesn't end up being some hokey for show. Yeah, Shadur and Travis Hunter are playing in this game for Colorado, and then they play like 10 total snaps, and it's the backups the rest of the way, and Deion afterwards like, well, I'm not going to get my boys hurt and tank their draft stock, right? Like, that would be the kind of thing where I go, okay, well, I got screwed here. But I think Colorado, if they go full force, they should cover the 4.5. But I think it will be an entertaining game. Could be a high-scoring game too.
You should live bet it then if you're worried about that.
True. All right, what do you got for the people here? A couple of three tight ones, and you dip your toes into the college football playoff waters to support your best friend Will Howard.
Yeah, well, I did like Arkansas, but it's not on the board, so just throwing that out there to Faye Mason both. I also like Vanderbilt against Georgia Tech. I think Vanderbilt's a school that's going to get up for their bowl game, which is similar to Nebraska -3, playing in the Pinstripe Bowl. It's been almost a decade since Nebraska's been in a bowl game. I think they'll be pumped for it. They have a young quarterback. It seems like an Avery Johnson situation that they can, like, really try to exploit there with Dylan Raiola in the bowl game with weapons. And they don't have their running back, Dante Dowdell. I don't think it'll matter. They have a nasty defense. Boston College, I don't know what they're doing at quarterback. So I like Nebraska in Yankee Stadium. And A&M -3.5. I don't know if A&M's going to love to be excited to be in the bowl game. Maybe because it is year one of Mike Elko, they will. But I know USC won't. So that's why I'm picking the Aggies. And Ohio State, I'm just taking all the all the little things that surround a game favor Ohio State. It's hard to beat a team twice. Advantage Ohio State. Oregon was at home and still only won by one. Advantage Ohio State. Oregon's going to have a pretty considerable layoff here, especially in relation to Ohio State, who's down a little bit of rhythm. Advantage Ohio State. Ohio State may have just played their best game of the year. Advantage Ohio State. There's a lot of things that I like here. And another one is, and it doesn't mean they have to lose this game, I understand, but in the first year of the 12-team college football playoff, when we sometimes had trouble finding 12 and 13 and 0 teams in the old iteration of college football, you're asking Oregon to go 16 and 0? Like, that's hard for me to fathom. So, again, advantage Ohio State. So, I could be wrong. The Buckeyes, I think, are one of the better plays in the – it would be the quarterfinal. Now, I also liked Texas and Notre Dame, not enough to put them over the top three, but I also liked them as well.
Yeah. No, I think I like all three of those that you threw up there. So you had the good pick there. All right. Let's close this thing out with a look around the rest of the Big 12, but real quick, we've talked about it before. A shout out needs to go to the On3 social media graphics department, and they just keep delivering more and more and more great, just dynamite drops. Bevo is not going to be allowed at the Peach Bowl, and this is the graphic they came up with.
Exile.
I mean, I had to throw that in there. I mean, it's elite what's going on.
The one with Feinbaum the other day was also great.
They know what they're doing, and they're doing it well. All right. Around the Big 12, just bowl games to keep everybody in the know on. West Virginia already lost to Memphis 42-37 in the Frisco Bowl. That was last week. K-State and Rutgers on the 26th. And then Friday, Texas Tech and Arkansas, 6 o'clock in the Liberty Bowl. TCU gets to face Louisiana in the New Mexico Bowl, 1:15 on Saturday.
They're a heavy favorite. Very heavy.
Yeah, 13-point favorites. I did consider a handful of TCU numbers in that one. Could you go?
I would not take their
team total over.
I would not take the spread, but I would take their team total over. Yeah,
yeah. It was 35.5 last I checked.
Yeah, maybe the over in that game is just a good way to play, because TCU is not going to stop Louisiana probably.
2:30 ABC on Saturday. Iowa State faces Miami in the Pop Tarts Bowl. Cam Ward playing in the game.
I don't know what to expect. Like, I think Iowa State wins or they get destroyed.
Yeah, that's kind of I don't know what to expect from that game. It's going to be interesting, and I'll get the lowdown on it because I have to pick Alec Bussey up at the airport Sunday morning after he flies from Orlando to Kansas City, because we have one Gabe Schwartz's wedding to attend. So that my triad with them lives on. Then BYU Colorado that night. This tells you how big of billing this is getting. Number one, tickets for the Alamo Bowl. A couple of years ago, even when Texas was playing in it, were dirt cheap, where people just walking on the street could get in. Cheapest ticket is $99 right now for the Alamo Bowl. BYU Colorado, it's also getting top billing on ABC on Saturday night. We talked about this one a little bit. I think that's going to be a phenomenal game. And then New Year's Eve, Baylor faces LSU. The Bears are a 1-point favorite in the Texas Bowl. This is kind of a fun game here.
Baylor is a 1-point favorite
over LSU.
Yeah, LSU looks like not as much in upheaval as USC, but it seems like things really haven't gone their way a lot.
They're on the verge. Very similar programs right now, for sure. And then the final Big 12 bowl game for now could be another one. Noon on New Year's Day, Arizona State in the college football playoff quarterfinal. They are playing in the Peach Bowl against Texas, where Bevo was exiled. So, I mean, maybe you think that's enough to get him over the hump. Sparky will be there. Bevo will not.
I will be rooting for Arizona State to at least cover, but I believe Texas will win by at least 14.
Okay, well, that's a bummer to end this thing on. Let's get back. Let's talk about the Cats to close this thing out. K-State Rutgers getting ready to go December 26th. You got to give me, like we always do here, If K-State is to win the game, who is your offensive and defensive MVP? Which, by the way, this bowl game will hand out an offensive and defensive MVP after the game. So we will have right and wrong answers to this question this time around. So this is being graded.
I like the potential of the running game here because I think that's what they are going to lean on. It would be a lot more fun if they did the passing game, but like I think they know enough about their passing game. But I think the big runs will be Avery Johnson. Give me Avery Johnson.
All right. Yeah, I got to go Avery Johnson on the offensive side of the ball as well, mainly because I still can picture the great Hayes Hurler running all over current Big Ten team UCLA in the Cactus Bowl Alex, if you go back 7 years ago.
Tyler got benched. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the man. So I think we get an Alex Delton-like performance from Avery Johnson.
He'll be there. He should go up in this Bulls Hall of Fame.
He should talk to the team before the game. If Chris Kleiman had just any sense in his body, he would get Alex Delton in the locker room before the game to talk to the boys. Defensive MVP for me. Again, this is such a strange one because you think about, like, in bowl games, it comes down to who's going to make the big play, the big splash play to kind of decide it. And also Rutgers, if Manungai plays, that might play a role in it because they'll be a lot more run heavy. If he's not, then you think that they might try to attack K-State through the air a little bit more. But I think if I'm going to go a certain way with this one, I think that I'll probably just say Brendan Mott. He's been phenomenal all season.
Last game.
Boom. There you go. Two guys that just had the same thought because, again, we want to be right. We want to get this right. He'll have an impact in this
game. I get a vote, so I'm just going to vote Avery and Brendan no matter what. Okay. Just so I have a chance to be right.
All right. Well, have you ever seen the episode of Parks and Rec when Leslie Knope's going head to head with Bobby Newport and when they go to vote, he admits that he voted for her. That's you have to have some integrity here in your voting. No. Okay. All right. Well, I was going to make a joke and it was solely based as a joke. But then I was like, what are the legal ramifications of it? Because I know some people have made comments that are not jokes about a certain voting situation. So I'm not going to do that. I was going to be funny. I promise I'm not going to do it. Final thing then. Does K-State break the alternate uniform curse?
They do.
Cats beat Rutgers.
They do. I had to score 23-13. I think it's going to be low scoring. Rutgers plays a very slow-paced, slow-possession, slow-paced game. Like Kent State's going to be content running the ball a little bit themselves. I think both defenses are tough enough here. Kansas State, I think, is a good matchup because Rutgers will be tough on defense, but they also don't want to air it out. I like the matchup for K-State, and I don't think it's two teams that are going to play a fast game in the 30s. 23-13 Cats.
Okay. I am going to take K-State by a final score of 26-14. I'm going to go a step further, though, D.Y. I think K-State's getting 2 points in this game somehow. I don't care if it's a safety. I don't care if it's, you know, a blocked PAT, whatever. K-State's doing this thing, which really I guess couldn't be if I picked Rutgers to score 14. So I'll take Rutgers to score 13 with you on that one just to make it happen. I want to be different.
Eagles last game.
I think that this is a game for K-State that they should be able to kind of control because, and again, I know last year we talked about this like NC State and people got pissed and then we were right. But I don't think of Rutgers as a team that is of the caliber of what K-State lost to down the stretch. Yes, they had a bad game and lost in the rain to Houston, but the losses to Arizona State and Iowa State, like they were ugly, but you still were kind of in that. Rutgers is nowhere close to the level of those two teams. I mean, if we're trying to compare what Rutgers is like to what K-State's facing, are they like Cincinnati but with a worse quarterback?
I was gonna say Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Like literally, Rutgers, their schedule's so bad.
Yeah, it's tough to get a vibe on a team like that. And again, I talked about it when we first found out they were playing Rutgers, but there were people that were legitimately talking like Rutgers could steal a Big Ten title game spot because of how light the schedule was this year.
Yeah, and I'll go through it just now. This is who they played this year: Howard, Akron.
Shout out Ron Prince.
Virginia Tech, Washington, Nebraska, Wisconsin, UCLA, USC, Minnesota, Maryland, Illinois, Michigan State.
That's yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah, it was not a great schedule for them. Again, 7-5.
Kansas State played three teams better than all those, probably. Colorado, BYU, Arizona State.
Iowa State. I would throw in there. Iowa State's better than Illinois. Yeah. I mean, you
is can BYU go better than Illinois? BYU's
yeah.
a little.
Yeah, BYU's. I would say BYU's better than Illinois.
BYU's a little fraudy, so that's close. But
yeah, no, I'd say BYU's better than Illinois. I don't know that you could make the case along the way anywhere else. I mean, in terms of the way teams were playing at the point, I think you can make the case now that Kansas is better than some of those teams, despite the record. Now, record wise, they're not. But Rutgers, if they were in the Big 12 and they played K-State schedule, I don't think they're 7-5. And I think if Cincinnati was in the Big 10 and played Rutgers schedule, I think they're 7-5 at least. So I think K-State controls this one for the most part. And like you said, it's probably going to be low scoring, not a high pace, but I don't know that it'll be like the Pop-Tarts Bowl last year. K-State scored first and for the most part had, NC State in an arm's length. I kind of expect that to be this game with even less like big play potential throughout it. So give me K-State to get their ninth win and break the alternate curse.
Rutgers had a weird schedule. They went 4-1 to start the year and 3-1 to end the year.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But 4:30 on Thursday, K-State and Rutgers get ready to play in the Rate Bowl. K-State looking for their third consecutive 9-win season under Chris Klieman. And Avery Johnson needs 3 touchdown passes to break the single season touchdown pass record at K-State. A lot of other things to look forward to in this game, and we'll have plenty of coverage of it coming your way over at KSO at On3 and also right here on the YouTube page before, during, and after the game. So for Derek Young, I'm Mason Vo. Thanks for watching and listening to K-State Online.